Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be starting Sefer Yoel. Sefer Yoel is the second of the 12 books of the Treyasar. It is a very short Sefer of only 4 prakim, and today we're just going to be focusing on an introduction to the Sefer to put it in context. So let's try to first understand when the Sefer was actually written. What is the audience that Yoel, the prophet, is talking to? So to be honest, there are actually 13 Yoels who appear throughout Tanakh. There are 13 different Yoels, many of them minor characters. And so we have to identify who this Yoel is and when he actually lived. Rashi at the beginning of our Sefer says that he is in fact the son of Shmuel Hanavi. If you look in Shmuel Aleph Perek Ches, the second Pasuk, we're told that Vayihi Shem Benoi Habachor Yoel, the oldest son of Shmuel Hanavi, was Yoel. That's what Rashi suggests, based on the name similarity. This is what's often called academically as a closed canon approach, where we're trying to match somebody who is an unknown with somebody who is a known. The only issue with this type of identification is that the Sefer does not seem to be set in the era of Shmuel Hanavi. Yoel seems to be talking about ideas and images which don't seem to be at the time of the early kingdom of Shmuel Hanavi. The Seder Olam, which is the Midrash Halacha, which gives the timeline for a lot of Tanakh and after, it describes that in Perek Chof, that Yoel, Nachum, and Habakkuk lived in the times of Menashe. Menashe was the evil king in the south. He was the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech after the northern kingdom had already been exiled. And the Midrash argues, Rivneshe lo hayo Menashe kasher lo nikru al shmoi. The reason why they don't mention Menashe explicitly in their Svarim, Nachum, Habakkuk, and Yoel, is because he was such a Rasha, he was such an evil person, that he was left out on a first-name basis. But he prophesied during that era. This is certainly a possibility. There is another possibility which is raised in the introduction of the Da'at Mikra to the Sefer. The Da'at Mikra set of Nach on this particular Sefer is edited by Amos Chacham, which is one of the contributors to it. It's really an excellent Pirush on Tanakh. And he suggests that it could be at the times of Shivas Zion. That means the return to Zion at the same times of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Some of the indications to this is the fact that he calls the nation of Israel Yehuda, which seems to be a later description when there were no longer the 10 tribes, and when Yehuda is being used, like the Yehudim in the Megillah, is at the time of Shivas Zion, Megillas Esther, as an example. Also, he doesn't talk about the sins of Avodah Zarah, which seems to be a predominant issue at the end of the first base of Mikdash. And also, he doesn't mention the king when returning to the house of Hashem. There was no king at the times of Bais Sheni. There was during the times of Bais Rishon. So there are various indications. Again, nothing is very clear. What is clear is that whenever he was talking, the ideas he was talking about were in fact for Ladoros, for all generations, which is why we're learning it now. What is the meaning of the name Yoel? Many of us have friends, many of us have children, grandchildren, whose name is Yoel. What does it mean? So on the one hand, most basically, it could mean the name of Hashem, which is his Hashem is God, Kokel, essentially, which is like Eliyahu, which is a name of giving, ascribing power to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another way of looking at it is if we look in Shmos Perek Beis Chof Aleph, when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to live in the house of Yisrael, the pasuk reads, Vayoel Moshe lo sheves es ha'ish, which some translate as Moshe agreed to stay with the man, and as the Mefarshim point out, could also mean that he swore, he took an oath that he would stay there. There's a lot of discussion in the Midrash what that oath was, but this is obviously the famous name of Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, the Satmar Rebbe. And his sefer was Vayoel Moshe, based on this pasuk as well. So it could mean some sort of agreement or adherence to a consent, which is also being expressed over here. Now, looking at the book holistically in terms of its sections, although it is only 4 prakim long, there are really 2 different sections. The most basic way of looking at it is Perek Aleph and Beis deal with a locust plague which has occurred and its removal, and that's the first topic. The second topic and the last topic, which is from Perek Gimel to Dalet, seems to be the judgment day for all the nations and Israel's receiving good thereafter. However, there is another way of reading the dividing the book into 2 sections, and that is in the voice. Because at the beginning of the third Perek is Vayihi V'Hayo Acharei Kein, it was afterwards, indicating that Perek Beis and Gimel seem to be joined into one. Another way of looking at the turning point might be actually in Perek Beis Pasuk Yotes. Listen to this Pasuk and notice the difference in voice that shifts from the first part of the Sefer to the second part. Vayana Hashem vayomer l'amoy. Hashem answers and he says to his people, Hineni sholech lachem es adagon v'zeirosh v'ayitzar. And I'm going to send to you the dagan, the grains and the olives and the wine. And I'm no longer going to give you as an embarrassment among the nations. Do you notice something interesting? Beginning of the pasuk, the voice is Hashem says to his people. But when the next few words are Hineni sholech lachem, I'm sending to you. So on the one hand, and this is actually a pattern of the whole sefer, the first half of the book up to Perek Beis pasuk Yotes is Hashem speaking to his nation. Almost we're bystanders to that. But when we read the second half of the sefer, starting in the second half of this actual pasuk, it is to you, meaning Hashem is speaking to the reader who is Klal Yisrael. Those voices seem to indicate a change, and that's another way of looking at the book in those two distinct sections along the same themes. How do the first and the second ideas or themes of the sefer actually relate to each other? Rav Amos Chacham in his introduction points out no less than 9 comparisons between the psukim used in the first section and the psukim used in the last section. So for instance, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, it talks about a Yom Choshech Vafela, referring to when the locusts come, it will be a dark day, like the sky we darkened. In the second section, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, it's Hashemesh Yafech LeChoshech, the sun will turn to darkness, talking about this apocalyptic war. You know, we talk about the heavens, clamoring under thunder and in the birth, both the first and the second section. Many numerous linguistic and image parallels between the first and the second section. So how do they relate to each other? So Rav Amos Chacham suggests there's 2 ways of going. One is that the locust plague itself that he's describing is in fact a mashal. It is simply a metaphor used to describe, to give, you know, sort of tangible terminology to what the day in the future will look like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings his wrath upon the world and for the nations for the way they treated Israel. So it could be that the first section raises an example of what is to come. The only hesitation with this approach is that it seems that the locust plague has already come when Yoel is speaking, so it's going to be complicated to say that this, you know, something which really actually occurred is the mashal, unless he's actually just saying what you just saw might be it. And finally, the other way of looking at it is no. The locusts are something which really occurred, and it's being used as a way of giving the people something that they could tangibly see to say that, like you saw this whole episode of the locusts coming and consuming and going away, this is what's going to happen in the future when it comes to the nations. It's going to be a similar type of experience. Either way, there seems to be a connection between the first and the section of Sefer Yoel. We have right now. We have right to jump in and to learn the actual text. Looking forward to joining you tomorrow for Perek Aleph. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.